Hey, early risers, thank you for getting up early to worship with us. So glad you're here. I want to welcome those of you that are online as well. My name is Brian Anderson. Hey, where I'm going to be teaching out of the Bible, if you have a Bible or you have an app, is we're going to kind of be all through the book of Ecclesiastes. And so if you have the app, you have the Bible, open it up to Ecclesiastes. We're going to begin in chapter 3, but we're going to be like all through that. So it'd be good to open that app or open up the Bible. Before we get into that, though, I want to show you a short video of a little bit of the water baptism that we did last month in September. So let's go ahead and run that video. Man, I just love our water baptisms. You know, if you got water baptized last month, way to go. Very important step in your spiritual life. And if you're a follower of Jesus, maybe you're online, maybe you're here in person, you're a follower of Jesus, and yet for whatever reason, you've never been water baptized. Well, that's an important next step for you to take. And we're going to have another one, as you saw on the video screens, in 2 weeks, November 13th and 14th. What do you have to do to be water baptized? All you need to do is take our water baptism class. It's online, vineyardnorthphoenix.com. We want you to take that class because we want to make sure you understand what the Bible actually teaches about water baptism before you're water baptized. So take that and then sign up to be baptized at one of our three services in 2 weekends, and we will be celebrating you being water baptized. It's going to be a great, great weekend. Hey, before we get into the message, I want to pause for a moment. You know, we're going to pray for the offering, but before we do that, I just want to thank those of you who give financially to God through our church. And I want to remind you that when we do that, one of the miraculous things that God does with our money is He uses it to actually change people's lives. He really does. When you give to God through our church, you're making an investment in eternity. You really are. We see God changing people's lives here at the Vineyard. We're so grateful all the time. We just saw a little snapshot of it with the video. So thank you for giving. May the Lord bless us whenever we give back to Him. We're going to pray and ask God to bless our offerings, our tithes. Let's also open our hearts to God and ask Him to speak to us, you know, out of the Bible this morning. Would you pray with me? Lord, as we give back to You, we do pray, God, that You would take our money and You would use it to change people's lives, that You would transform ordinary people like us into extraordinary followers of Christ through our financial giving. Bless our gifts, Lord, and bless us for being faithful to You with our finances. And now, God, as we look into the Scriptures, I pray, Holy Spirit, that You would speak very clearly to every one of us. God, we open up our hearts to You right now. We ask You to speak clearly to us, Lord. And I know for that to happen, God, I need Your empowering, Your infilling. I pray You do that, Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that my message and my preaching, like Paul said, would not merely be in persuasive words of wisdom, but it'd be in a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that You may be glorified by all that we do here at the Vineyard. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So I've been doing a series for quite some time called Keys to Successful Living. And this morning, we're going to look at the biblical value of fairness. The biblical value of fairness. Now, hold on. I know. None of you who are in this room, none of you online, need a teaching on how to be fair. You learned how to be fair when you were a little kid. You know, you share your games, that's fair. You share your toys, that's fair. You cut the pie in equal pieces so everybody gets the same amount. You know how to be fair. When you become an adult, what you may not know is why. Why should I be fair? I mean, when everybody else in the world is just in it for themselves, why shouldn't I just be in it for myself? Why do I need to be fair? That's what we're going to look at this morning. And the first thing I want you to know, the Bible's very clear about this, is that life is unfair. Life is unfair. Have you figured that out yet? Turn to the person next to you and say to them, life is unfair. It just is. If you've lived any length of time at all, you know that life is unfair. And the Bible does not try to hide that fact whatsoever. I mean, this is an imperfect world. This is not heaven. You just looked at your neighbor a moment ago, just looking at them, you know, this is not heaven, is it? And they said the same thing about you. And because of sin in the world, there's a lot of injustice in this world, isn't there? There are a lot of things that happen in life that are just so unfair. So let's look at a few examples of those, all from the book of Ecclesiastes. First of all, one thing Solomon says is that criminals go unpunished. Criminals go unpunished. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 16. I also noticed that throughout the world there's evil in the courtroom. Yes, even the courts of law are corrupt. Now, King Solomon is the guy who wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. And he wrote it about 1,000 B.C. So if you do the math, he wrote this about 3,000 years ago. And when you read that, it's easy to realize that nothing much has changed in the last 3,000 years, has it? I mean, criminals go unpunished these days all the time. Criminals oftentimes don't get what they deserve. In fact, for criminals, they really have no fear of the law if they just watch the news. I mean, just what happens in the world, watching that, you can tell several things about crime. One is, if you commit a crime, you're very unlikely to go to jail for it. I mean, if you can pay enough money, you can beat almost any indictment these days. All you have to do is hire the right attorney, and they find some sort of technicality to get you off. Second thing about crime is most of the time, it's going to be years before a criminal ever goes to trial. A crime is committed, and then you find out the verdict like 5 or 6 years later. And then the third thing about crime is that if a criminal does get convicted, they're probably not going to serve whatever the full sentence is that they were given at the time that they were indicted, that they were found guilty. Did you know that these days the average sentence served for someone who was guilty and was given a, quote, life sentence, sentenced to life in prison, the average sentence served is 7.5 years. 7.5 years. They probably, you know, they get off on parole and then they can go out and do it again. Solomon saw that 3,000 years ago. Criminals go unpunished. Oftentimes, life is unfair. Second example that life is unfair, the oppressed are unhelped in the world. Ecclesiastes 4:1. Solomon says, again, I observed all the oppression that takes place in our world. I saw the tears of the oppressed with no one to comfort them. The oppressors have great power and the victims are helpless. Now, if you know anything about history, you know that history is a record of the fact that it's human nature for human beings to try to dominate each other. You see that all throughout the history of the world. One nation tries to dominate another nation. One race tries to dominate another race, or one race tries to dominate every other race. You know, the rich try to dominate the poor, the powerful try to dominate the weak. Men try to dominate women. And it's still going on today. The oppressed are unhelped in the world. Life is unfair. Third example of life being unfair, many politicians are unethical. Now, I know that's shocking. That is shocking for me to say that. But you know, all kinds of illegal fundraising, cover-up, scandals, sexual immorality, you just go on and on. But you need to know, none of that stuff that's happening now is new. Solomon said 3,000 years ago in chapter 5, verse 8, if you see a poor person being oppressed by the powerful, and if you see justice being miscarried throughout the land, don't be surprised, for every official is under orders from higher up, and matters of justice only get lost in red tape and bureaucracy. See, the Bible says that when ungodly people hold positions of power, they're going to abuse it. And Solomon says, that is unfair. And he's right. Fourth example that life is unfair, good people go unrewarded. Ecclesiastes 8:14. In this life, good people are often treated as though they were wicked, and wicked people are often treated as though they were good. This is so meaningless. He's saying, why is it that oftentimes good things happen to bad people, and bad things happen to good people? He says, that doesn't seem right. I mean, does it ever bother you that oftentimes unscrupulous corporations succeed while corporations that try to maintain good ethics don't? Or does it bother you that really shady, unethical salespeople oftentimes get the deal signed while a salesperson with ethics doesn't? Or does it ever bother you that dishonest people get promoted oftentimes and honest people oftentimes get overlooked? Or does it ever bother you that people like drug lords or porn kings, you know, they live in luxury, well, honest people sometimes can barely make a living financially. See, Solomon says the bottom line is life is unfair. So the question is, why? Why does God allow all this unfairness? Let me give you four reasons. First of all, because God gives us the freedom to choose. The freedom to choose. That's one of the greatest gifts that God has given to us as human beings. It's an incredible gift from God. I mean, how would you like to live a life where you had no freedom of choice whatsoever? That'd be horrible. So the good news is we're free to choose. The bad news is there are consequences to our choices. When we make bad choices, innocent people get hurt, and that's unfair. Now, why does God allow this? Why does God allow this? Because God wants to produce a race of tested individuals who choose from their heart to love him. That's what God wants. God doesn't want people who are forced to love him. God wants people who choose to love him. God wants people who choose to do what's right and what's good, not people who are forced to do what's right and good. In other words, God wants people to love him voluntarily. And therefore, God gives us the freedom of choice. But that causes all kinds of problems in our world, doesn't it? Why? Because lots of people, even us, as followers of Jesus, we oftentimes choose to not do what God wants us to do. We've all done that many times, haven't we? I mean, if I smoke a bunch of meth and then drink all kinds of alcohol and get drunk and then get in my car and run into a minivan with a husband, a wife, and three kids and I kill all of them, is that God's fault? The correct answer is no, No, would you say it out loud? No, that is not God's fault. It's my fault. God didn't plan that. God didn't want me to do that. That is the result of an evil choice that I made. You know, if your husband has an affair and walks out on you and your three kids and divorces you and walks away, do you ever think, how could God do that to me? God didn't do that to you. Your husband did that to you. I mean, so often we get God and life mixed up. So often we blame God that are things that people did because they have the freedom to choose. Now, could God change those types of things? Absolutely. I mean, God could easily take away all the injustices in the world. All he'd have to do is take away our freedom to choose. That's all he'd have to do. But if he took away our freedom to choose, then we can't choose to love God on our own either. And that's what God wants. God doesn't want a bunch of puppets. God wants people who choose to love and obey him, not people who are forced to love and obey him. So why does God allow unfairness? First of all, because he gives us the freedom of choice. Second reason why God allows unfairness is because God is going to settle all accounts one day. One day, all accounts are going to be settled. Look at Solomon says in chapter 3, verse 17, I said to myself, you might underline this, in due season, God will judge everyone, both good and bad, for all their deeds. You know what that means? That means that today is not the end of the story. The final chapter has not been written yet. God has not balanced the books yet. So never forget that one day there's going to be a judgment day. Never forget that. In fact, if you read the entire book of Ecclesiastes and you get to the very last verse, Solomon comes to a conclusion throughout the whole book of Ecclesiastes. He finally says in chapter 12, last two verses, 13 and 14, the conclusion of everything that I've said, all 12 chapters, is this. Here's what you need to do. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this applies to every person. Why? Because one day, he says, this applies to every person. Because one day, God is going to judge everyone, both the good and the bad. He's going to bring everything out which is hidden, if it's good or bad. See, the Bible says that one day, every one of us, we're going to stand before God and we're going to give an account of our life to God. Everything. The good things, the bad things, the ugly things. And on that day, God's going to settle the score. On that day, he's going to balance the books. On that day, all the injustices in the world are going to be made right. Every time you've been shafted, every time somebody's been unfair to you, every time you've been stabbed in the back, every time you've been overlooked for a promotion, whatever way you've been treated unfairly, on that day, all the injustices are going to be made right. And God's justice is going to be meted out with fairness and with severity. Therefore, no matter what you might think, nobody gets away with anything. Nobody ultimately gets away with anything. All right, third reason why God allows unfairness, because it shows us that we need a Savior. We need a Savior. Now, there's a very popular idea going around these days with lots and lots of people that basically says human beings are inherently good. Human beings are inherently good people. It says everybody is basically a good person. It's the environment that makes people do bad things. Maybe you think that. I want you to know two things. First of all, that is so far from biblical truth. If you believe the Bible, that is so far off base as far as what the Bible says. But the second thing is that so far off base from experiential truth, too. I mean, anybody who's had any interaction with children knows that children are not inherently good. You know that children are inherently bad. Their life is all about them, right? I mean, you parents, how many of you have ever had to train your children how to be bad? Anybody have to do that? No, they come right out of the chute knowing how to be bad. Why? Because they're born with a sinful nature. Because of Adam's original sin, they are born with a sinful nature. Every one of us are. Human beings are not basically good. The Bible's very clear about this. Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 17, 9, the heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? Did you know that your heart is desperately sick? If you have any sort of self-awareness, you know that. My heart is desperately sick. It says in Psalm 58, 3, the wicked are estranged from the womb. From the womb, we were coming out as wicked people. The wicked are estranged from the womb, and those who speak lies go astray from birth. Every human being is born with a sinful nature. The only one who wasn't is Jesus. And the reason he wasn't is because his father down the road, down the line, was not Adam, because he had no earthly father. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, so he was not born with a sin nature, but everybody else is. Look at Solomon says, Ecclesiastes 3:18, then I realized that God allows people to continue in their sinful ways so he can test them. And he says this, that way they can see for themselves that they are no better than the animals. See, human beings without God tend to start acting like animals. I mean, we hear all the time shocking stories of people acting like animals. Things like gang rape, abuse, racism, sex trafficking, senseless acts of violence against innocent people. I mean, people acting like animals. You know what God says? God says, you're not an animal. You're a human being. But God says, when I'm not in your life, you oftentimes tend to act like an animal. See, one day, God's going to settle the score, and everything's going to be made right. But before that happens, man, I need a Savior. I need a Savior. I need somebody to save me from the penalty of my sins. And guess what? So do you. You need a Savior. And if you've never made Jesus Christ your personal Lord and Savior, you need to do it today. Today could be your day. And I guarantee you from personal experience, he will change your life. If you completely surrender your life to him, he will change your life when you make him your Lord and Savior. All right, fourth reason why God allows unfairness, because unfairness can build character in us. See, character is never built inside of us when things are going great. When things are as easy, we never have character built inside of us. Character is always built through the tough times. Bible says that over and over. Here's one example, Romans 5, verse 3. And not only this, Paul says, but we also exult in our tribulations, in our problems, in our difficulties. How can you exult in your tribulations? Because you know something, Paul says. Knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. And perseverance brings about proven what? It's right on the screens there. Character. Proven. You guys can like communicate with me. Proven. Pretend like you're awake, all right? Proven what? Character. And proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God is filling our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. Now, I want you to notice these verses do not say that going through tribulation does build character. It says it can build character. See, going through difficulties only produces character when you choose to respond to it in the right way. I mean, I know a whole lot of people that have suffered a tremendous amount in life, and yet they have very little character at all. They're bitter, they're cynical, they're dried up on the inside, their whole life is about complaining. Why? Because instead of becoming better through their suffering and through their tribulations, they just became bitter. They didn't respond in the right way. Now, here's the deal. All of us have had bad things happen to us. We all have. And from time to time, you might think, why me, God? Why am I having to go through these difficulties? Maybe you're thinking, I didn't ask God for you to put me in the family that I'm in. I didn't ask for my spouse to have an affair and walk out on me. God, I didn't ask for this illness. You know, maybe you feel like you've been dealt a bad hand in life. Maybe you feel like life is really unfair for you. You know, maybe there's a business partner that you had that just robbed you blind. Or maybe your best friend just stabbed you in the back. Maybe your parents mistreated you or ignored you, or maybe even abused you. Maybe you had a loved one die when it felt like you needed them the most. I mean, the point is, everyone has their own story of unfairness. So the question is, what does God want us to do when we face the inevitable injustices of life? Because they're going to continue to happen. Your whole life, you're going to have unfairness, injustices. How does God want us to respond to unfairness? Let me give you three ways. First of all, God says, I want you to accept it gracefully. Don't be surprised when difficulties come, when people treat you unfairly. Don't be surprised. You know why? Because God told us over and over and over that it's going to happen. Don't be surprised. Just one example. Peter says in 1 Peter 4, dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you're going through as if something strange were happening to you. It's not about you. Instead, be very glad. Why? Because these trials will make you partners with Christ in his suffering. And afterward, you'll have the wonderful joy of sharing his glory when it's displayed to all the world. He's saying you can't prevent people from hurting you. You're going to be hurt. Can't prevent it. But, he says, you can choose how you're going to respond when somebody hurts you. You can either choose to respond to that hurt gracefully, or you can just become bitter and complain about it all the time. You can blame God, you can turn away from God, or you can use it as an opportunity to develop character inside of you. See, the fact is, everybody has pain in life. The question is, what do you do with your pain? Does your pain drive you toward God, or does your pain drive you away from God? You know, unfortunately, through this pandemic, all of us have suffered a lot of pain in all kinds of different ways. And unfortunately, a lot of people, their pain has driven them away from God. Followers of Jesus who are not in church, they're not online, they're not following Jesus in any way because they haven't responded in the right way. Jesus says, the way I want you to respond to unfairness, to pain, I want you to accept it gracefully, and I want you to turn toward me and not away from me. Second way I should respond to unfairness is I need to respond lovingly when people hurt me. See, when somebody hurts you, you know what they expect? They expect for you to retaliate. They expect for you to try to get revenge. And what God says is, I want you to do the exact opposite of what they expect. I want you to take the high road. I mean, the Bible says that over and over and over. Jesus says in Matthew 5, but I say to you, love your enemies. What? And not only that, pray for those who persecute you. And you don't pray one of David's prayers like, Lord, make their loins shake continually. He's not talking about that. Not that kind of prayer. By the way, that is in the Bible. It really is. He says, pray for them. Why? So that you may be sons of your Father who's in heaven. Why should we pray for those who persecute us? Why should we love our enemies? Well, first of all, because God tells us to. But second of all, because it keeps them from controlling you. When you love your enemies, when you pray for those who hurt you and persecute you, it keeps them from controlling you. Booker T. Washington said this, I will never allow another man to control my life by allowing him to make me hate him. See, that's a choice. I can't control the unfairness that happens to me, but I can control my response to it. Now, when I say respond to an offender lovingly, hear me clearly, that does not mean that you continue to allow injustice. That's not what that means. No, on the contrary, we are to lovingly fight against every kind of injustice. We are to work for justice in our world. But we're to do that without retaliating, without getting revenge, without seeking to get even. But we are to seek justice, not only in our own lives, but for everybody that we're around. And probably the greatest example of this is Martin Luther King Jr. He said this, we're not going to fight the evil people who have done things to us. We're going to use nonviolent confrontation. They use whips on us. They put us in jail. They use guns and all that. We're not going to do that. We are going to overcome evil with good. I mean, what a great example of how we're to respond to injustice. So how do I respond when I'm treated unfairly? Accept it gracefully, respond lovingly, and last of all, wait patiently for God's help. Wait patiently for God's help. Peter says, so if you're suffering according to God's will, keep on doing what's right. And then he says this, and trust yourself to the God who made you, for he will never fail you. See, whenever you're going through some sort of an injustice, always remember God is on your side. When you go through injustice, God is always on your side. In fact, there is no sin that God judges more harshly in the Bible, except for maybe the sin of pride, than the sin of injustice. All through the Bible, God says, I can't stand it when people are treated unjustly, unfairly, and I will care for those who are treated unfairly. All through the Bible, God has a special place in his heart for people who are treated unjustly. You know why? Because he's a God of justice. He's a God of justice, and he hears your cry. And he sees your pain, and he knows whenever you've been shafted or hurt or put down, and he has a plan. So wait patiently for God's help. Now, we may never understand why a lot of things happen in life that are unfair. In fact, we may not ever understand this side of heaven. Maybe when you get to heaven, you'll understand. I don't know. But you know what? God doesn't owe us an explanation about why one person gets one thing and maybe you get another. He doesn't owe us an explanation. You know why? Because he's God and we're not, and he gets to do what he wants. Our God is in the heavens, Psalm 115:3, and he does whatever he pleases. But the good news is, I don't need an explanation to get on with my life. All I need to know is the truth of the Bible, that God loves me, God has my best interests at heart, no matter what I'm going through, and God has a plan. All I need to know is that one day, God's going to settle the score. One day, God's going to make all things right, and I just need to trust him and maintain a right attitude. And I know that eventually, if I do that, God will reward me. He will. In fact, I love this last verse by the Apostle Paul. For momentary light affliction. Now, if you know anything about the life of Paul, he went through so much personal suffering in every way possible. What does he refer to it as? Momentary light affliction. He says that's producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Isn't that a great attitude, a great perspective? I don't know if you're encountering some sort of injustice right now, some sort of unfairness. I hope you're not. But if you are, my challenge to you is, how are you responding? Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we ask for even more of your presence to come right now. That you would touch every person watching online, every person in this room. That you would have your way. We open our hearts to you right now, Holy Spirit. And we ask you to have your way inside of us. If you're going through some sort of injustice, some sort of unfairness, maybe from your family, maybe at work, maybe from your boss, maybe the way that a friend treated you, maybe somebody in your small group, whatever it is, how are you responding? Because that's really what matters. Are you accepting it gracefully? Are you responding to the perpetrator or perpetrators lovingly? Are you waiting for God's help? Waiting patiently? In fact, if you're going through some sort of injustice right now, would you just take a moment from your heart? And would you talk to God about it? He already knows. He knows everything that's happening in your life. But he wants to communicate about it. He wants to talk to you, and he wants you to talk to him. Don't let it turn you away from God. Let it turn you toward God. Maybe even say to God, God, I want this difficulty, this unfairness, this injustice that I'm going through. I want it to develop character in me. I want to come out on the other side someday a more committed follower of yours, Jesus. A more mature person. A more loving person. Would you do that in my life? You know, maybe you're a person who's actually perpetrating or have perpetrated injustice, unfairness against someone. If that's you, you need to repent right now. Turn away from it. Stop doing it. Ask God to forgive you. And then go to whoever that injustice or that unfairness has affected. And you need to apologize to them. And you need to do everything in your power to make it right. You don't want to stand before God one day and have to deal with that then. Why don't you deal with it now? And if you've never made Jesus Christ your Savior, you need to. You could do it today. He'll begin to change your life from the inside out. He really will. If you don't know how to do that, we're going to have a ministry team up here at the front. We're going to dismiss in a moment. And all you need to do is come to the front and say, you know what, I want to make Jesus my Savior. Would you help me? Tell me how to do that. And one of our ministry team members would love to do that. Or if you're going through some sort of an injustice right now, some sort of unfairness, one of the best things you can do is receive prayer. We'd love to pray for you that God would intervene and God would turn that situation around. He's a God of justice. He wants to do that. So we'd love to pray for you. If you have any other kind of prayer requests, we'd love to pray for you before you go. Again, we'll have a ministry team. Just stick around, come to the front, and we'll pray for you. If you're online, just click the prayer button. One of our team members would love to pray for you as well. Next weekend, I'm going to continue this series, Keys to Successful Living. I hope you'll be here. Let's go ahead and stand. I want to pray a blessing over us. And if the ministry team would come up right now, that'd be great. Lord, thank you for your presence with us. And I pray for all my friends now as they go their separate ways. God, would you bless them? Would you keep them? Would you cause your face to shine upon them and be gracious to them? Lift up your favor upon them, God, and give them peace. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Hey, say hi to some people on your way out. Hey, be careful tonight on Halloween. Have fun, but be careful. May the Lord bless you. We'll see you soon.